We're now going to hear from a member of our congregation, Adewale Tewo, who is going to share with us some of his faith story.
Recently, I was listening to a song. I was singing of the goodness of God. And I was particularly struck by a line in that song that says, "All of my life, I have lived in the goodness of God." And as I reflect on my life, I come to agree with that statement that indeed, I have lived all of my life in the goodness of God. Even though I have not known Him all of my life. Even when I did not have a relationship with Him, God has been kind, gracious, good, and merciful to me. This reminds me of what Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 1, verse 15, that before he was born, God chose him. And I can testify that that's the story of my life. I was born in Lagos, in the southwestern part of Nigeria, the first child of six children, five boys and a girl. I moved back to Canada. I moved to Canada in the year 2013. The first time we came to Holy Trinity Anglican Church was about June, July of 2013. But we're on and off until January of this year that we decided to make Holy Trinity our home church here in Calgary. As a young boy, I was not really interested in the things of God. Going to church for me on Sunday was about running around with friends, getting into trouble, and at the end of the day, getting the snacks. Looking back, I won't consider my parents to be devout Christians. I will classify them back then to be what I call nominal Christian. And the reason I said that was because, yes, they were into church. Yes, they belonged to activity groups in the church. And once I got into trouble with my dad because he asked me that I must come for the evening service during Lent, but I decided to go for an extramural class. And the reason I consider them to be nominal Christian is because I remember when I was still much younger and we lost my granddad and we had to travel from Lagos to Ogun State, also in southwestern Nigeria. When we got home that night, there was a lot of excitement. And I realized all of us moved to the back of the house and we made sacrifice to the local God. So yes, on one hand, we do church. On the other hand, we're still involved in idolatry. So I wouldn't consider my parent then to really have true knowledge of Christ and the church. On completion of my primary school education in Lagos, I moved to Makurdi in Benue State in the north central part of Nigeria. I attended Efo Secondary School, Makurdi. And looking back today, I realized there was a different me in primary school and a different me in high school. In primary school, I was kind of gentle, not getting into too much of trouble. But in high school, I became a completely different person. I was mean. I was a bully. I was always looking for trouble. Recently, I got added to my class group at the secondary school. And one of my classmates said, "Is that Adewale? Can you remember when you fought me? Because I scored 15 over 15 in a class test, and you got 14. That's how troublesome I was. Why should you fight someone over their score? I was so mean that some of my teachers in secondary school then thought I was into drugs. And unfortunately for me, my eyeballs are always red. So they complained to my guardian. My guardian was a teacher at the primary school. And when he got home that day, he was furious at me. But that didn't change anything. If I'm alone, I cause trouble. When I'm with my friend, I cause trouble. Trouble was just natural to me. And looking back, I can't explain why. Because the decision to go to secondary school in Makurdi was mainly from me. I was the one that told my parents, I really want to go. So it was not that I was forced to go and then I'm rebelling. No, it was my decision. I can remember back then in secondary school, how we used to make fun of Christians. Christians then were humble, gentle, meek. And because of that nature, we thought they were losers. We thought they were nobody. We thought they would end up not being good in life. So we make fun of them. They were favorite pigs to make fun of. But certain things happened during my high school days that confirms to me that God is kind to both the good and the righteous and the unrighteous. I remember once on our way back home from school, we were in a pickup truck, and as we're going, we lost one of the tires, and nothing happened to all of us on that truck. I can't explain it, but rather than that drawing me to God, it made no difference to me. There was also another time while we were in the van, about leaving school, there was smoke coming out, and the students outside alerted us. The driver stopped. While he was checking what was wrong, the smoke turned to fire. And one of my friends, Tina Uma, was the one that said, guys, we need to get out. We were just laughing, you know. And within 5 minutes of getting out of that van, the van got burnt to ashes. God saved me, even though I did not know him. Indeed, his patience is for us to repent. But at this point in my life, all this thing happening to me did not shake me, did not turn my attention back to God. However, in the final year of my high school, two things happened that had great impact on me. The first one was on the second term. My friends and I, we were mean to some junior students. And I think we went overboard this time around. And we were reported. The school formed a disciplinary committee, and we were found guilty. And we all knew we were guilty. But something strange happened. While all my friends were suspended for 2 weeks, I was spared. Up to today, I don't know why I was spared. I can't explain it. But when I reflect back on that, it reminds me of what Christ did for us. What we truly deserve as humanity is death. Like the Bible rightly says, none of us is righteous. But what God did for us in Christ is to give us eternal life. But back then, this didn't make any sense to me. It didn't make any meaning to me. In my final term of high school, I became sick. I had jaundice. but it was misdiagnosed as malaria. I can remember vividly when I was going to write my account examination paper. My leg was so swollen that I could not walk by myself. My friend carried me to the exam hall. And I can also remember that while I was writing this final examination, we call it the senior secondary school certificate examination, I will never go to write any exam without listening to the song, God Will Make a Way by Don Juan. At this point in my life, I didn't have a relationship with God. I wasn't born again. Going to church was just going for me. It was not because I really understand what I was doing in church. But every time I'm going out to write an exam, I will listen to that song. Indeed, God made a way. I passed all my papers. And it reminds me of the scriptures that say, when it rains, God causes rain to fall on both the righteous and on the unrighteous. God is merciful. After high school, I moved back to Lagos to join my parents. At this point, my mom has become a born-again Christian. And I can remember vividly on a particular Saturday, July 29, 1995. She dragged me to the church. I didn't want to go. I protested. I told her I don't know anybody in that church. I'm completely a stranger. And she said, no, you have to go with me. So I went with her. It was a praise night organized by the evangelical group of St. David's Anglican Church, Lafayette, Lagos. And they sang. People were happy, but it didn't make any sense to me. But the climax of the night was a skit. And when that skit started, it was a kind of throne of judgment skit. And the first person came in, read his credentials, his good character, his good deeds, but without Christ, condemned. And so the next and the next. Until this person finally came in and they said, I am a mean person. I was mean. I was wicked. I had a terrible life. But I received Christ into my life. And I started this journey with Christ of becoming a better person. And there was joy. And there was an announcement, crowning with a crown of glory, robing with a robe of righteousness. And one of the leaders of the evangelical group came out and asked the question, who would like to commit his life to Christ? Who would like to receive Christ into his life? At that point, all my defense mechanism broke down. Up to today, I cannot explain it. I stood up from where I was sitting and I moved to the front. About 12 of us that night received Christ into our life. I remember one of us was crying so much. But the skit really made the difference to me. I could relate to that person. And that day, I made the most important decision of my life. The way my life has turned out to be today, I can trace it to that day. For instance, when I got admitted to the university, I had issues with finance. There was nothing like student loan like we have here. My parents could not afford to sponsor all of my education then. But the leaders of the youth group of the church, the members of the evangelical group of the church, they rallied around me and they made sure I completed my university education. And also, my wife, we met in that same group. So whatever I have become today, I can trace it back to that single decision of receiving Christ into my life. While at the university, I was involved with the Baton Varsity Christian Union. We had a lot of outreaches, village evangelism. It was fun serving God. And recently, one of my colleagues at the university sent me a note. It was a Muslim back on campus, but him and I had issues with our admission initially until we got it sorted. And because of that, we're always talking, and I was always talking about Christ, encouraging him. And he sent me a note. He said, "Thank you for standing for God. That all what you were saying while we were on campus, they make sense to me. But today, I am a believer. And I understand what you were saying back then." And that was a great source of encouragement to me. But I must confess, it has not been fun all the way. I can't say when in particular I drifted from focusing on Christ to become a work-centered, transactional Christian. I see everything I do with God on the basis of transaction. I used to think that it's because I've done certain things, that's why I could get God's favor. So in order to keep being in God's book with God, I have to keep doing something good. And it was an endless cycle. One of my favorite examples is when I invested the money I was saving for my master's degree in a company that later I got to know was a Ponzi scheme. But through the kindness and mercy of God, I got my money. People lost millions of naira in that company, but I got all my money back. And then I would tell people, "Oh, it's because I gave to the church. That was why I was able to get my money back." I was so transactional until the year 2014. At the beginning of every year, I have my rituals, things I will do. And in my mind, after doing such things, my year is guaranteed. But that year, I lost a baby. And I was bitter, I was angry, I was mad at God. I felt God betrayed me. I was resentful towards God. Though I was still coming to church, I was still doing those things, but the joy was no longer there. Until the year 2015, once I was challenged by a friend, "Let's read the Bible together in 90 days. And by the time I got to Matthew 11, verse 28, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you that labor and heavily laden, and I will give you rest." And I cried out to God. I said, "God, I don't have this rest. I need this rest." And that began a new phase of my walk with God. And now, my walk with God is centered completely on the grace of God, what Christ has done for me. I am no longer trying to earn his favor, but to go through Christ. And when I hear scripture like Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, I have peace with God. My heart bursts out with joy." Now my life is lived in appreciation of what God has done for me in Christ. All I pray to do is to love him more and love people more. That is my goal for life now. Finally, if you're listening to us, I want you to know that God is no longer imputing sin to the world, but rather is reconciling every man, every woman, every child back to him through Christ Jesus. All God wants you to do is to come to him just as you are, and he will make you clean. I want you to know that God loves you dearly, just like he loves his son.
So thank you very much, Adewale, for sharing your story with us. Quite powerful to hear how God was at work in your life. There may be people listening today who found that Adewale's message struck you, maybe reminded you of ways in which God has been with you in your own life. There may be people who are watching this who maybe don't even know where you stand with God. Maybe there may be people who have been searching, maybe people who have wondered whether God even knows that you're there. As Adewale was speaking, I was just reminded, as he shared his story about kind of going through life, but not really knowing God really, and yet God was with him and God knew him. It just reminded me of it's a verse that I often refer to. So those of you who are from Holy Trinity will have heard me say this verse before, but it comes from Jeremiah, beginning of Jeremiah, and it says, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you." And that's something that all of us need to be reminded of, I think, is that before we were even known by anybody, God knew us completely. And even though we may have gone through life not knowing God, God knows us, and God wants to be working within us. And so you might want to respond to God today. There may be people who, just like Adewale when he was at that church for that praise night, and there was an invitation to come forward and to commit his life to Christ. You may not have ever done that before, and so today might be the day for you that God is calling you to make a stand for him. And even if you have already committed your life to Christ, today maybe is a day to renew that commitment. So I'm just going to invite you to join me in a short prayer as we commit ourselves for the first time, perhaps, or recommit ourselves to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for Adewale's testimony, his journey of faith, and how you were faithfully with him throughout his life, even when he didn't know you. We thank you that you were able to work in him and transform him. We thank you that you know us completely. You know the good stuff about us. You know the stuff that we're not proud of, and yet you still love us. And so, Lord, we want to take a step towards you today. We want to take a step and commit ourselves to you, whether it's the first time or whether we've done it many times before. We want to take that commitment, take that step, and to become more and more like your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you that you accept us. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to work in us and shape us, that we might be transformed to be the people that you made us to be. And so we lift up all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.